spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light. We bring you the first of four broadcasts from Hollywood under the auspices of the University of Judaism, the West Coast branch of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's transcribed program, Lizzie and the Whiskers, written by Morton Wishengrad, features Mel Ferrer as Dr. Jacoby.
The wind blew in from the East River, the tenements seemed to huddle together for warmth and protection. The year was 1877, and the street was a slum in New York's East Side. The pattern was already fixed, bedclothes airing in the windows, the sound of a tuberculous cough, a dark hallway, the sour smell of garbage, streets spilling over with dray horses, carts, sidewalk merchants, and the clamor of children at play.
Hey, Ma, throw me now a piece of bread and butter.
The streets were the playground of the children, but not the playground of Lizzie Hyland. Lizzie did not venture outdoors. She pressed her nose to the window and watched the children at play.
You still at that window?
Yes, Ma.
Well, why don't you go out and play, same as all the other children?
I like it here, Ma.
Oh, go out and get fresh air. Lizzie Hyland, I'm talking to you.
I'll play in here.
I'm your mother. Do as I say. What are you crying about? Somebody think I was taking a strap to you. Go out in the street and jump rope.
I'll jump rope here.
There ain't no fresh air in here.
I'll open a window.
Lizzie, you can't go through life being scared of the other kids. Don't cry. I said don't cry.
Don't yell at me, Ma.
Oh, I'm not yelling at you, you little fool. I'm yelling at myself. My fault. You don't have to go outside. You can jump rope here till old man Schultz yells from downstairs. Wipe your nose.
Hickok, needle and thread, had a fight, shot a man dead. Man had a brother named McCaw, shot Wild Bill, and that was all.
Who'd you learn that from?
Nobody.
You mean you made it up?
It was in Pa's newspaper.
Lizzie, why should a girl as nice as you and as good in school as you are be ashamed in front of other kids? Lizzie, why?
Don't talk about it, Mom.
I'll make you another wide pocket in your skirt. Wider than the last one. You can hold your hand there. Nobody will see.
They pull my hand out.
Well, I'll make you nice cotton gloves. You can wear gloves all the time.
They don't have to wear gloves.
Oh, baby, you can't curse yourself all through your life.
Please, let me jump rope.
Oh, you couldn't help it. You were born that way.
I'm not blaming you.
Oh, I can't bear to see you spend your life in this dark house. It ain't natural. It ain't normal.
No, Ma. But neither am I.
Oh, Lizzie, stop punishing yourself.
The year was 1877, A dark year for a little girl named Lizzie Highland. A little girl who kept her right hand hidden in a pocket in her skirt, who wore her skirts long so they concealed her feet. She pressed her nose to a tenement window and saw the world outside, and saw no place for herself in it. It was a sickness, not in her hand nor in the feet she hid with her long skirt. The sickness was in her soul. School was a place of terror. There was no ease for Lizzie Highland there. No safety.
Girls, it's time for sewing now. Everyone see? You're working your left hand. Needle in your right hand. Raise needles high. Lizzie Highland.
Yes, ma'am?
Your needle in your right hand.
I hold it in my left hand.
Are you left-handed?
No, ma'am.
Well, then you'll sew in the normal way. With your right hand. Your right hand, Lizzie. Hold it high.
Please, ma'am. I don't feel good.
Grammar, Lizzie. Watch your grammar.
Please, ma'am. I don't feel well.
Very well, Lizzie. You may sit in your seat and rest for the balance of the sewing lesson.
Little things, all of them. But each hour added its own crisis to Lizzie Highland. The worst time was always after school, when she'd gone home with the other children. She fled before them as before a terror.
Hey, Lizzie, wait for me.
Hello, Tommy.
Hey, Lizzie, after school, the kids are going down to the park on First Avenue. You can come.
I don't know if I can.
Well, we're going to the horse fountain. Gonna take our shoes off and go waiting. We're gonna... What's the matter?
You said that on purpose.
What you talking about?
Nobody's going waiting. You said that about taking shoes off on purpose. Why don't you let me alone?
Why, you must be crazy.
It's a joke. It's a wonderful joke. Now say, come on, Lizzie, let's shake hands. Or come on, Lizzie, how much is 5 and 6? Count it on your fingers. All right, here's my hand. Here are my fingers. Go on, count them. Go on.
I didn't mean anything. I swear I didn't. Don't shiver like that. Lizzie, don't shiver like that.
Mrs. Schultz gave me an egg. Just watch this, Lizzie. Egg beaten up in a glass of milk. She says it'll make you feel real good.
That's bad grammar, Ma.
Well, just as long as it's a good egg. What happened in school today?
Nothing.
Well, I was just asking. If you don't want to talk, it's all right. Stop twitching like that. Makes me nervous. Stop that twitching.
I can't help it.
Then go in another room. Get out of the kitchen.
All right, Ma.
And pick up your feet. You don't have to drag your foot like that.
I'm not dragging my foot.
I tell you, you're dragging your foot. Pick it up. Walk like a young lady. And stop twitching. You're twitching and fidgeting all over.
I can't help it. I can't help it. I'm scared. Ma, help me make it stop.
No, she couldn't make it stop. It was as though the muscles of her body had suddenly gone crazy. There was only one thing to do. On the east side of New York then, even as now, when calamity befell the poor, there was Bellevue, the hospital. In the year 1877, a boy named Tommy ran for help. The wonderful horses of the Bellevue ambulance wagon sped down First Avenue, and the wagon carried the frail young body of Lizzie Highland, frail and twitching, as though her muscles had gone crazy.
You're the mother of the little girl just brought into the ward?
Yes, doctor.
Your
You're frightened, aren't you?
Yes, I'm frightened. What is it?
Well, I'm not quite sure, but I think it's something called synovitis dance. Doctors call it chorea. That's the medical name. Maybe someday doctors will know more about it.
Well, work ain't steady now for my husband, but you go and get the biggest doctor for Lizzie. Somehow we'll pay him.
Well, that would be Dr. Jacoby, and he's on the ward in the morning. Dr. Abraham Jacoby.
It was a Bellevue story. Almost from the year 1658, the first year of one of America's oldest hospitals, there always seemed to be a doctor whose name was pronounced with a special inflection of respect. And in the last quarter of the 19th century, a political refugee from Germany had come to New York. He was a medical genius, a genius with an instinct for children. The man who in the next century would be called the father of American pediatrics. But Lizzie Hyland's mother could not know this. And so next morning she had come to make sure, to see for herself.
Nurse, I'm ready for the next patient.
I'm not a nurse. I'm Mrs. Hyland.
This formality is unnecessary. Just tell them I'm ready for the next patient.
But you don't know who...
Madame, must you talk so much? Please
Dr.
tell
Jacoby,
them that...
Dr. Jacoby, there's a little girl outside in the ward. Her name is Lizzie Hyland. She has...
Well, come, name it. I'm busy this morning.
Saint Vitus dance.
Your diagnosis?
The doctor who examined her when they brought her in.
Take me to her, nurse.
I'm not a nurse. I'm Lizzie's mother.
We don't stand on ceremony, madame. Bellevue is very shorthanded these days. Let's take a look at the girl.
His name was Abraham Jacoby, doctor. A little man, but nevertheless a giant. His voice could be brusque, his manner testy. But the hands he placed on the convulsive limbs of Lizzie Hyland were inquiring and gentle.
Good morning, Lizzie. How do you feel?
She was unable to tell him. The words were locked in her throat.
Don't be frightened. You are safe here.
She wanted to believe him. She wanted to feel safe somewhere. His voice was gentle with her. It was a surprise because his lion's mane and his whiskers made him look ferocious.
If you look at my whiskers like that, I'm going to have to shave them off, and I'm fond of my whiskers.
Lizzie Hyland smiled. For the first time, Lizzie smiled.
You know something, child? The moment you smiled, your face stopped twitching. Makes you feel better to smile, doesn't it?
Yes.
Do you think if I made you laugh, your arms and legs might stop jerking for a few seconds?
Maybe.
Uh-huh. A very cooperative patient. Now, try to relax as best you can. I'm just going to touch you with my hands. Are you cold?
No.
I thought you might be. You are sleeping in your shoes.
I didn't let them take my shoes. No one's going to take my shoes off. No one.
Of course not. Well, suppose we count your pulse. May I have your hand, Lizzie?
No, I don't want you to.
I merely want to count your pulse.
That's a lie. That's...
Yeah. Sometimes it catches in the throat. Don't try to talk. You can keep your shoes on all you like. And I don't have to count your pulse. It's not so terribly important. Mrs. Hyland, are you there?
Yes, Dr. Jacoby.
You got a fine girl.
Yes, doctor.
I'm sure she'd like some clothes from home. Come outside with me. I'll tell you what you can bring her. Follow me, Mrs. Hyland. Mrs. Hyland, we can do very little about St. Vitus dance. Administer arsenic and hope, mostly hope. That's because we know very little about the disease itself, just that it happens to young children around Lizzie's age.
Well, I can't bear to see her that way, her face twisted like that.
Then you have to help me.
Anything, doctor.
Mrs. Hyland, why did Lizzie refuse to let me count her pulse?
On account of her hand.
Yes.
She was born with 6 fingers on her right hand.
Ah, so. And why does she insist on wearing her shoes?
She's got extra toes on each foot.
Lizzie's a freak.
That's absurd. Things like that happen.
Oh, it was because I was frightened just before she was born. The midwife told me.
No, Mrs. Highland, that's superstition. Tell me, Lizzie has suffered a good deal, hasn't she?
Sometimes she comes home from school not saying anything. But inside she's screaming. God help her. God help me. But when I see her like that, it makes me want to kill myself.
You are a good mother.
I don't know nothing.
You know a good deal. You know enough to love her.
I ain't helped you.
You are wrong, Mrs. Highland. You have helped. You'll see.
He was a doctor. He treated the hurt where the hurt was deepest. And if the hurt and the wound lay deep in a little girl's soul, he had to treat the soul of Lizzie Highland.
Good morning, Lizzie.
Hello.
Look. Not much to look at, is she?
No.
Just a poor beaten-up doll. I tell you a secret. That's the way I like them. I cannot stand a doll that has no cracks in her. Now, you take Miriam here. Miriam has lived herself a full life. She has character.
What do you want, Dr. Jacoby?
Nothing, Lizzie.
What did you come for?
To pass the time.
Why?
I just told you. I like dolls with cracks in them. I leave Miriam. I hope you like her, Lizzie.
Dr. Jacoby, may I speak to you a moment?
What is it, nurse?
That Highland girl.
Lizzie, what about her?
The girl has to be bathed. She won't let us touch her. She allows no one but her mother to bathe her.
Then leave it to her mother.
But the rules of the ward...
The rules of the ward are for the patient to get well.
She won't even let me touch her.
Then I suggest that you don't touch her. That you don't even try, nurse.
Yes, doctor.
Anything else?
No, doctor.
Pretty angry, aren't you?
Yes, I am, Dr. Jacoby. Wouldn't you be?
Possibly. I'll speak to Lizzie myself. Ah, Lizzie. It's Thanksgiving Day. I brought you an apple.
She told you.
I always bring apples on Thanksgiving Day. Very fine apple.
I won't let you touch me either.
It comes from a farm way uptown in Harlem. Brought one for myself. Now, that is what I call a luscious-looking apple.
Why don't you eat it, then?
Can't.
Toothache?
Delicacy.
You're making fun of me.
Oh, no, I can't eat an apple alone. I'll eat mine if you eat yours.
You came here because the nurse said... Why can't you eat your apple?
Self-consciousness, madame. Listen. You see? Make me self-conscious. Now, if you bite into your apple, I can eat mine without feeling silly. Take a bite, Lizzie.
What do you want from me?
You are too young for suspicion, Lizzie. Eat your apple.
Yes, doctor.
A man with ferocious whiskers and a young girl with twitching limbs eating their apples. A small incident in a Bellevue ward 75 years ago. He was a strange doctor. He brought a gift, a doll with a chipped face, an apple, a book, a flower. He was a patient man. The doctors in the ward raised their eyebrows.
But you haven't examined Lizzie, Dr. Jacoby.
Plenty of time, Doctor.
Forgive me, sir, but...
But what in heaven's name am I doing?
Yes, sir.
I am paying court.
What, sir?
I am asking for Lizzie's hand. You cannot rush into such things nowadays. It's 1877. Times have changed. Have patience. I have patience. I'll see Lizzie tomorrow. ¶¶ Lizzie, your face is dirty.
Your face is dirty, too.
Oh, that's because of the viscous. Me, I'm a pilgrim father with viscous. Very handsome, don't you think?
No.
Oh, you change your mind. Wait till you know me better. Isn't it good to laugh?
Yes, it is.
Since I've come to America, I always laugh.
Didn't you laugh in...
Germany? I tell you a secret. They threw me into prison in Germany.
You must have insulted someone.
Oh, naturally. I insulted the Kaiser. I said America was better. America, I said, kein König dort. No king in America. 3 years in prison.
That's why you didn't laugh.
That's why. But in America, I laugh. In this vast country between two oceans, many people laugh. And a small citizen named Lizzie Highland is needed by the United States. You know, Lizzie, frightened people don't make good citizens.
I try not to be frightened.
You hide from the other children, don't you?
Mama's told you.
Yes, but she didn't have to tell me. I knew.
She's told you about my...
Yes.
I'm unnatural.
Oh, no one is unnatural.
I'm a monster.
Your eyes are gray. Your face is very pale. And your chin has a little cleft in it. Now, I'd hardly call that monstrous.
You want me to show you my hand?
No, Lizzie. I don't want it.
Then I want to show you my hand because I want it.
Thank you, Lizzie.
It's this one. What do you think?
I think it won't be any trouble at all. Why are your eyes shut, Lizzie? Are you still afraid?
I was making up a jumping poem.
Huh? And what's a jumping poem?
I jump rope to it. Doctor, doctor, Jacoby, his old whiskers won't frighten me. What do you think?
You really want to know?
Yes.
I think I'll ask you to take your shoes off.
As operations go, it was not at all spectacular. A visiting doctor who came to witness the already famous Dr. Abraham Jacoby in action was quite disappointed.
That was a very minor operation.
You think so, sir?
Well, for heaven's sake, what was it?
Major surgery.
Preposterous. All Dr. Jacoby did was
operate on the soul of a human being.
Excuse me, doctor, that's nonsense. You can't operate on the human soul. There's no such thing. Never happened.
It happened now, and we both saw it. And I think because it happened now, it's going to happen again in the future. We saw a man named Jacoby remove a stone from a child's heart. And perhaps we saw something pretty wonderful in American medicine.
Her name was Lizzie Highland. They had brought her to Bellevue in a horse-drawn ambulance, a little girl with convulsive limbs and a pale face and frightened eyes. And now she was ready to go home by herself, her limbs controlled, her cheeks no longer pale, her eyes no longer frightened.
Yeah. You're leaving me, Lizzie.
Yes, sir.
And what will you do for me?
I will shake your hand.
Very good. Where are you going, Lizzie?
Home.
Fine. Where's home?
The United States of America.
You are part of it all, Lizzie. Don't forget that. Now, give me a kiss on my scratchy old whiskers and run along. I've got work.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Justin Turner, Chairman of the Board of Governors of the University of Judaism. Mr. Turner.
Today's program depicts a self-conscious child suffering from physical handicaps,
of humble parentage, Lizzie is tortured by the fear of being ridiculed and derided by her schoolmates because of her deformity. Lizzie amuses herself by composing rhythmic jingles, to the tune of which she jumps rope in her tenement apartment while the other children play together out of doors. Her simple mother is worried and tormented by her inability to help her child. A crisis is reached when she suffers from the St. Vitus dance. Bitterness, suspicion, and fear are finally overcome by the humility of the understanding pediatric specialist, whose psychological devices restore the child's confidence and alter her mental outlook. Cooperation between doctor and patient effect the cure. This theme somewhat allegorically depicts present world conditions. Bitterness, distrust, suspicion, and fear can be removed only by cooperation and the true desire to do justice between individuals as well as nations. Those of us who live normal lives can be thankful that we enjoy good health and the ordinary blessings of life, which we too often take for granted and accept so casually. Our Pilgrim fathers left their homes in the old country to seek freedom of speech and religion in a new world. We, who now enjoy the advantages of these freedoms, dedicate today's program to a grateful thanksgiving. Let us continue to contribute generously to alleviate suffering, to aid the helpless and the aged, and to sympathize with those less fortunate than ourselves. Thanksgiving implies not only the awareness of man's dependence upon God, but of God's dependability, of man's being able to feel secure in the possibility of salvation. It is good indeed to give thanks to God in word and action. We cannot have too many expressions of sincere religious gratitude. Lizzie can well substitute her usual jingle for the 103rd Psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all its benefits, who forgiveth all their iniquity, who healeth all thy diseases.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Our eternal life drama today, Lizzie and the Whiskers, was written by Morton Wishengrad. The music was composed by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Robert Armbruster. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical music. Featured as Dr. Jacoby was Mel Ferrer, with Norma Jean Nilsen as Lizzie. Our cast included Paul Fries, Jeffrey Silver, Noreen Gemmill, Irene Tedrow, Lester Sharp, and Donald Randolph. Your announcer, Frank Barton. The production was under the direction of Andrew C. Love. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This program was the first in a series of four broadcasts to be presented under the auspices of the University of Judaism, the West Coast branch of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, and came to you transcribed from Hollywood.